May 4, 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And what,
farm down in Paul Village. And Paul Andrew was his brother-in-law.
Oh, yes.
His sister Mary, the other sister Mary, him. Your sister Catherine married Paul Andrew.
Well, what was it like living on a farm in those days?
No heat upstairs.
Had a big house, had a big central chimney, you know, going up through the middle. And throughout the years, we were built on a fire place in the middle of the road. They had it all sealed up. I don't think it was. We didn't use it anyway. We had stoves and burnt wood.
And did your father primarily raise crops, or was it a dairy farm, or what?
It was a dairy farm.
Will you ship milk? Did you ship milk?
How did you market the milk?
Well, soldier, that man lived over here where Duport.
Yes.
Frank Chapin.
Frank Chapin?
Yeah. And he fed the milk with all the horse around the village when I was a kid.
So he would get the milk from you and then sell it to the homes in town?
What did he sell it in, cans or containers or? Yeah, but I mean, if he sold it to the people in town.
Well, at first, remember him? When I used to ride around a lot, he had a covered wagon, you know, and he had his cans in there. And he had a can that held about 10 quarts. Spelled on it.
Yes.
And he'd go up to the customers and the horses and stuff. And he'd go up to the stoop where they had their bucket to get it in. And they'd have about the same place every day if they didn't get down to it. And he'd come get a quart, 2 quarts, whatever they wanted.
So it was up to the housewife to have something to put the milk in, whatever she took the milk in. It wasn't bottled or homogenized or anything like that.
We started bottling after I got married. I moved over onto a relative.
When did you leave the farm and go into farming for yourself then?
1920. Yeah, 1920.
Mm-hmm. And this, your farm was on Wells Hill Road?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. About a quarter.
And what kind of farm was that?
Yeah,
dairy farm?
Dairy.
Also dairy farm. And did you bottle the milk there yourself?
We did the first year, the second year,
Then they went in partnership with Frank Vail, he and Frank Vail, and they formed the Wells Hill Dairy.
Frank Vail lived out of North Carolina.
So could you remember what year the Wells Hill Dairy was organized? When did you and Frank Vail go into business?
1940. No, I was married in 41, and I was your first bookkeeper. I think it was in 42.
Yeah, it looked like better milk. I tell the ball, I like the Frank Dale had something like that. Or I had salt bread.
This was Rose Hill, and yours was Oakwood Farm. Rose Hill Farm and Oakwood Farm.
Was Frank Vail's farm on Wells Hill Road?
Just above the where the Fleischman's house is. You remember that Kirk Bellano who lives there now? I don't know who lives in his house. The White House. This side of Ann Lloyd's, that big White House.
Yes.
I don't know who lives there. It's quite a farm.
So you peddled milk then to all of the houses in Lakeville and Salisbury between the two of you?
Then we started putting it in the store, and first place for any good storage. That's where it is. Three Oscar's boys down the hill, then get a half a pound of cream, a box of spinning wheat, and roll it in a hub, 2 floors across the road where
Salt Lake Jewelry.
They have a barrier, isn't it?
Yes. Each shred of wheat and cream.
Each shred of wheat is in the hub for the heating place.
Yes, she pours it or something.
Now you knew that was a three-story building. Where Lakeville Food Center is now. That was a big building there.
Yeah, so there were several other things in it. Right?
Yeah.
What else was in that building?
Well, when I first joined it, to drive a store, they had all the bottom, and then the next floor was a dentist, and he had 2 or 3 rooms in the front there.
Who was the dentist? Do you remember his name?
Dr. Hurd was first, and then he kind of gave up. Dr. Bartle, he was a young fellow from over Bartle, and over here, and he said,
and after Hurd, after Bartle was done.
Yeah. Bartle, he worked 3 or 4 years, and he went to Target.
What was on the top floor then?
That was a big hall. They have shows there and movie pictures. But movies first, the month's side of pictures, you know.
Yes.
He had one of the first there.
We used to go see the Chautauqua. They used to have a
Chautauqua circuit.
That is so cool. That is that big wide stairs going up both floors.
And they're about as almost as wide as this room.
Yeah, they're about as
big. It was very big. I remember going up because I had to go to the dentist.
And they finally had to rent after you got the movies going, they had to rent a car escape. Put that on the backside.
Was it used as a gymnasium too?
I don't remember that.
Just as a theater.
As a theater.
Did you raise horses too on your farm?
Oh yeah. Yeah. After
not going. Money ahead. You buy them.
Did you race the horses?
Say what?
Did you race them?
Well, I didn't do that for racing on another department. I raised draft horses, work horse treatments, Belgian horses. The horses are kind of going out and growing up. I'm just trying to come back a little.
Was your son?
Yeah. He took over. He was not the recovery. He made none of them. Yeah, then we got the farm farm over on the hill. The barn's gone now. We're turning it down.
Bill Ford lived over there. Lad was it?
Yeah.
Mrs. Lad bought?
But she died and left to her daughter.
Where is that located?
Well, you know the Wellington, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you turn left there, you just go up and back there. Back straight up there. And then you go down the other hill into the Salem district, what you call it. That's where the cannon is. That is place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know where Slayman and Emerson lived?
Yes.
Well, we're across. Was that house that had the silo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was where the farm was.
Well, there's a big barn there. 100 foot long, 50 foot wide. The main barn. And it was 3 stories high.
Now, who ran that farm? Who operated that farm?
He got it and his son. Me and his son ran it together.
You and your son ran it together? In addition to the other farm?
Yeah.
On Welsh Hill Road? Yeah. Glad
who's
looking.
Up towards the cows.
You must have had some help, didn't you?
We had one man in the barn on what we call the Welsh Hill Farm. He was totally done with working the barn, and the barn came.
It was Corcoran, right?
And there was another man over the other barn. It's about all he done. The barn came to get the cows. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of help. And that boy, his boy, well, he come there when he was 11 years old. His father worked in the barn. He used to live there.
Yes. What was his name?
Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the horses.
Truck horses?
Yes.
Well, I got into them. Doc Noble, he got that is, he always liked horses. And there was Doc Fowler down in Charlotte.
Dr. Fowler, yes.
He got a horse or so. And they started. They got that old track that was up there belonging to Mr. Brewer, and she got a hold of it. We could just well had it, we'd been smart enough to start. We were thinking that things had been laid there for 20 years. We all grew up to brush it out.
Yes.
And I own the land the other side of the road. So we built a barn.
And you had races there?
Just we used to have bad days there. Oh, I wouldn't get started about 1st of June. We'd get the horses up there 1st of May, start training. You had to get them down there a month to get them in shape.
This was harness racing?
Yeah.
Was it free to the public, or did you charge admission?
Oh, we never charged.
Who were some of the people who raced there? Besides Dr. Noble and Dr. Fowler and yourself?
Well, there was Dr. Noble, Ryan Beck, and Adam Taker. And I got him in the Supreme Court. Yeah, Henry Folger. He came from Copac. He was an auctioneer. He had a big sales place up in Copac. And he got interested. And he had a horse over there. But sometimes he had two. He'd go over in the morning and work up for an hour or so. Put a bit on him, and then the next day I'd feed him.
Did Bill Ford race there too?
Huh?
Did Bill Ford race there too
at
that time?
Yeah, he got his Russian. Bought a couple of little horses. Never had much. He worked out of a hard, good experience for him.
Dana Creel, was he up there too? Or did he come later?
He come later, he didn't. He had a farm down to a share. Mm-hmm. Was Seymour's?
Yes.
A farm up the back there.
Yes.
Creel got a hold of that. He had some big boom bears. He had a man take care of him. He was going to raise colts. I don't know, yeah. It had something to do with that.
It's connected with the Ford Foundation. Did you have a favorite horse?
Yes, I got a picture of it.
Woody?
Yeah.
I guess it's
what was the horse's name?
Gaywood.
They would?
That was my favorite. Noah got it down in Millbrook. Saturday night, he said, he can go with it, and all these people go to him. He was parted out of Millbrook. This guy, he got a talk of horses. And this guy, he used to be, I think, a trainer driver out in Ohio. And he told Doc he had this horse. He's 8 years old. Never raced, never been trained. And he just let a girl take him, make him have a ride on it. She wanted to get rid of him. No one complained to him. They got a hold of George Michael. And we went down and we brought him home. And he hadn't given to me.
So you trained him then. How long did you have him? How long did he live?
Well, he was racing until he was 14. I can't race him after that. Not on the legal race, you know. So, when he got 14, I had another horse. I don't know. So I let Bill Clark's daughter took him. She was thought she was a day rider. She would ride anything. She got along pretty good with him.
Who was Becky Alden?
Huh?
Who was Becky Alden?
This is, you had her after Gaywood?
Well,
or at the same time?
I never spent much money for him. I guess I did. I did 400 in Becky Alden.
How often did you race at the track? Did you have a regular time every week when you get
together?
Well,
yeah. We'd jog them every day. What we call jogging, just go out and around the show.
Afternoon or evening?
No, in the morning.
In the morning.
Ford. Had to get through. Ford could only beat his own side. He did get there about 11 o'clock. Doug Noble had to be in the hospital. He gave up doctoring and just went into heart research. He's still got 8-9 horses.
Yes.
And I thought I'd give him about 5 years and he gets sick of it. Well, Paul, he stayed 3 years and he threw his spine. He had to get up, he'd be up there at 7 o'clock in the morning, at past 6, and work his horse and be down at Sheriff Hospital at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Start up, ready to work. He bought everything. He had one gun, cars, and carts, and blankets, and he didn't buy. Spent a lot of money.
Well, when did you, how long did this go on? When did they stop racing there?
Oh, they tend to race there somehow. They don't have many come in anymore like they used to. The race was Larry Perkins, they worked for now. He's got
blacksmith shop in town. Where was the blacksmith shop?
Well, the blacksmith right the road there.
On Walton Street?
Two of them, yeah. One over that side, the old one. And then the fellow built a new one over this side. And Hines come up, all the village of Lime Rock. Lime Rock had a blacksmith. Lakeville had this one, and I had one down by a spur company. I could do service.
Yes.
Across the book, yeah. That was all a blacksmith. And then wagon shop, they used to make wagon and the main sleds there. And painted. And all the wagon painted them on.
Yes.
Used to haul them up on the rope up and down. Buildings there now, McCarthy, you know.
Who ran the blacksmith shop on the other side of Walton
on
Street?
On 7L Street. Was that Trisha?
Trisha was there for a year. That's 2 feet. The old man. I remember as a kid. I used to go there and stand. Went out of business. They had a lot of horses down there, and a big workhorse, you know, teams. And Hines, couldn't want this. They said, Blacksmith down there. They used to, everybody had to bring their horses to Blacksmith. And cars. And then they got so they.
When did you get your first automobile?
Huh?
When did you get your first automobile?
1922.
What kind was it?
Ford.
But you never had a driver's test, did you? Did you get your license?
No. Oh, wife, she always had horses playing. I didn't like it.
Preferred the horses.
Horses.
Right. Chris said that there was a mill over here on Cleveland Street.
Yeah, sawmill down.
Sawmill?
Yeah.
Did you ever live over there? I suppose that street was named for your family, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wait. bunch of men out in the spring and worked them all summer. And had a real good one, they'd want to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to keep her dad, but he couldn't stay.
Did he stay for the harvest through
yeah,
the service season?
Yeah, he started plowing. He'd start out in the morning, something like that. He'd go and be back and know the future horses.
Mm.
That's how far they had to go.
Right.
And then the same way with harvest.
This is Donald Kobler interviewing Paul Cleveland, May 17, 1981. Is this the where Pocket Knife Square is now?
Yeah.
As they call it?
That's all that attention company called.
And that was when they were making knife handles there?
Well, they made all kinds of knives.
They made
all kinds of pocket knives. They had a case of all the different knives they made. I forgot how many was in it. The kids got all the knives they took from the shop.
What was your job?
Huh?
What was your job?
Well, so I had to do everything. I had to cut in there. I was 12 years old.
What were the wages then?
50 cents a day. 10 hours a day.
50 cents a day, 10 hours a day, and how many days a week?
I had half a day off Saturday.
And you didn't have one particular job, you just had to do whatever
well, you were supposed to. Well, when I went there, they gave me a job that I could do probably. It's a bad time to. All the wheels that you left me with were made out of wood wheel and leather nailed on them. And then what did that they put the stuff on the wheels.
That was for the grinding?
You had to scrape all that old wheels off, soak them first in a big tub, and they put them down to keep them rolling very slow.
Is that right?
And two floors of bed. Down the basement was a grinders and machine shop. Next floor was a jackknife, or the mitts, up the jackknife, you know, heavier knife. And then the top floor was a bit of a smaller knife.
Must have been a busy place.
Yeah, they made scissors there too, didn't they?
Huh?
They made scissors there too.
I don't know, they didn't make it, they finished them up. So they did butcher knives and things like that. They get them someplace else and finish them. Mm-hmm. I can't tell them. They bring the things out from the warehouse. All the different parts of the knives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had to finish them up. Saturday, it's supposed to be all done, you put them in and try and take them in.
Did they have anybody employed on piecework, or was it all hourly wage?
No, they had a lot of piecework, too. Mm-hmm. Not so much as the check miners, you know. Up at the... They made small knives, and then they had a place on the second floor, another small room, and they had six or seven. They could finish them up, polishing the knives, you know, puffing them, all that kind of stuff. That was the last process to get before them.
Well, they got them ready for the market. I wanted to ask you also what you think were the most important changes in dairy farming over the years and as you looked at this area.
Well, I was a kid, of course, in all small dairies, 15, 20 years, that'd be a big one. But they got so exchanged, you know, 3 or 4 would get together. It's sort of milking 100 cows.
Mm-hmm.
And we milked 150. And about 250 cows.
That's when you had the dairy.
Yeah.
Because all the horses did all the work. Now they got tractors.
When did machinery began to come in and the milking equipment. When did you first get that?
Well, they had it. It was out for a while before we got it. Back in 1900s, 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
And the 18 was the first milk machine to come around.
Who was the first one to have it in this area, do you remember?
Joe Honor.
Who?
Joe Honor, down at the
power
place. He was brought up the door. He put a milking system. And he ran it to 2 or 3 years. Had no big gas engine down in the basement of the barn. Get that a pump about 5 or 9 in the morning. You hear it all over the head of mine.
When did you get the milking equipment?
Oh, I didn't get it until I tried it. Bought it myself. Then about 1923-4.
Mm-hmm. Did this make a difference in the number of people you had to have working for you?
Yes. Well, we got organized and we had 2 bars. Each man had 75. And he had a helper.
Mm-hmm.
70 of the boys. And he got all the milk in Utah. He cleaned it. Outside work.
Mm-hmm.
Think about two or do that, or three.
Yeah. Who are some of the people who worked for you?
Well,
over the years.
Bert Heyer. He'd gone to Ford, his father had to have him. And he got tired of his father. He come up and stayed over 11 years. And his boy Joe, was young out of school, and he took one bar. He took one bar, then that other.
Mm-hmm.
They smoked about 75. Well, I'm trying to see who can make the most milk.
Little competition.
Well, it's good. Joe's a good boy, good worker. That kind of wild.
You got great cork with you for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, cork you were the first 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They never had any doing account in there. I'd count for another person.
Is that right?
You know, he worked for telephone companies twice. Mm-hmm. Had a good job, but he tricked like hell. And they finally let him go. He come to work for the States 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
He just worked in the barn with the cow.
That's all he did.
That's all he did.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps the bar clean, the cows clean.
And you had Buster Parsons.
Huh?
Buster Parsons, wasn't it?
Yeah, Buster worked outside.
How long did he work for you?
Buster? Mm-hmm. Oh, 6 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. He was horse crazy, too. I always had pretty good horses.
Right. What are some of the ways that the town has changed? The ways in which the town has changed, what strikes you the most in the changes in the town itself?
In the town?
Yeah, since you were young.
There's quite a lot of difference. Well, some of us take Lake Grove. The rest of them, when I was young, there was the hollow block up top of the hill there by where the old bank was. That was had a drugstore and a grocery store and a post office in that building. Then up the next door was the next stairway. It was a road. Lived right in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And then way up on top of the Masonic. The town front of the hill was Roberts. That was a big grocery store, general store. And the old store stood there for a long time. So they tore it down. And they tore down the rich people got out of Lake Valley. Pretty good states, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get rid of all that things. They didn't like it. They drove down through the village and said they won't build it.
Wasn't there a road that went down through the park by the fire company?
Yeah, down First Hill.
They called it Furnace Hill. It went down there where the sidewalk is.
Right down by the bank, right straight down.
Mm-hmm.
There was houses up there.
That was Furnace Hill.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where we used to slide downhill in the winter.
Is that right?
The way up to Williams' place to come down through. The hairpin was a hairpin. You can only hairpin curve. It's the down up between 240 and 240 in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong now.
But the train was in here all the time.
Huh?
And the train was here in the
way
in those days.
They had 9 trains. On every hour.